Hey everybody, welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. This is a Mentor Moments episode. And what does that mean? That means 10 minutes of the best knowledge from our most popular guest distilled down to you. This week, we're chatting to Mr. Alan Merriman, the founder of Elkstone. He is on his way to establishing himself as one of Ireland's best investors. He has backed companies like Flipdish and Let's Get Checked, which have both become unicorns since we spoke. Unicorns are companies valued at north of $1 billion. So it's fair to say Alan knows a thing or two about business. I ask him how he switched from a corporate career into running his own business, and I ask him to reveal the exact things he looks for in an entrepreneur he is going to back. It's 10 minutes of absolute gold. Quick shout out to my sponsor, Sage. Sage are the number one provider of payroll, finance, and HR software to small and medium-sized enterprises right across the globe. To find out more about Sage, click the link in the pod description. And here is this week's chat with Alan Merriman. If you want to go back and listen to the full episode, it is episode number 55.
How did you switch your mindset from, you know, a large corporate to running your own business and then going into like venture? That's a huge change.
I think I probably have different answers to that question. I mean, one thing I kind of say tongue in cheek is that I've done my career backwards because, you know, and I go back to, you know, I did think I was good when I was in PwC, but I know now that I didn't know half what I should have known. So I know today I'd be a far better auditor and consultant today than
you know all the tricks
I thought I was all the way back then. So I do think I've done my career. And again, if I go back to EBS and all the things I did in EBS, you know, I would wonder, you know, how did they ever let me in there to begin with? Because again, I know far more now, and I kind of feel now I've got there the type of things I should have known when I was in EBS. So I do think I've done my career backwards in a way. But I think, to be fair, to, you know, I kind of use PwC as a very good, you know, look, I was there for a long time. I was there for 18 years, but I think it's a super training ground, KPMG or PwC or the likes, EY, for any young person, because I think you get so much exposure to so many different businesses, so many different cultures, so many different. So as an auditor, while an auditor sounds like and is, you know, relatively, I guess, boring compared to some other careers, you get a fascinating insight into different businesses. And if you have a curious mind, you hoover up so much knowledge and so much learnings. And so that's certainly part of what I got out of PwC. You know, and also at a young age, I was very lucky. I mean, I was a partner at 30. I was working on what were PwC's largest clients. I was primarily in banking. So, you know, again, they're taught of differently today. But I got the opportunity of working with people like, you know, the Morris Keynes and the Patton Lies in Bank of Ireland, the Cormac McCarthy's in Ulster, Shawnee and Anglo. I mean, for a young person to be engaged and working with those people and in those boardrooms, you know, that was a tremendous experience. So I was always interested in business as well. So I think, you know, when I talk about venture in particular, I talk about the criteria that I'm interested in and founders, the quality of the team is number one by a country mile. And I do think my experience in PwC is a huge asset in terms of being able to read people, judge people, figure out whether they're, you know, have real substance or not. And I think that's a talent that has just evolved over time. And I do think my time in consulting and auditing was very pivotal to that. I also think, going back to the EBS experience, PwC is a partnership. So I always had that kind of partner mindset. You know, you were one of 80 partners and you're working in a partnership. EBS was a mutual, so it was very much a cooperative type, you know, mindset. And again, I see venture, the way I do venture, very much the same mode, you know, just the founders, and it's very much their business. But we're investing our money, our clients' money, so it's a collaborative partnership. And I think, again, that served Elkstone well in terms of our DNA. And we're very, very intentionally positioned as founder-friendly, you know, in all the right ways. And I think that goes back to my own DNA in terms of, you know, as I said, a partner, you know, mentality from PwC, or a mutuality mindset, cooperative mindset from EBS. And then, yeah, through Roger and you know, the experience of corporate finance, I have a capitalist mindset as well. So I'm able to, you know, I'm able to pull the best out of all those different areas, I think. And I still, like everybody else, make lots of mistakes and get a lot of things wrong. But, yeah, I think versatility is a key strength that I think you need to have in venture, particularly if you're going to be a multi-sector focused venture fund or investor. I think it's very important to be able to be a generalist and you know, at my level anyway.
We touched on that on Friday, actually. You guys invest across the board. But when a deal comes to you, what's your kind of first analysis? What do you do first? What do you look at first? Point of venture deal. We'll start with venture just to get into that. Yeah. I know that's just for something passionate about.
It always depends on, you know, first of all, where's it come from? And most of my deals I source from founders. So it's an introduction from a founder. Doesn't matter whether it's Dublin or whether it's Berlin or whether it's New York. It's a founder. So that's normally the first telling thing. What's the quality of the introduction?
So a founder referring you on to another founder.
Yeah, that's the highest pedigree in my mind. You know, clearly, particularly if it's a founder that I have, you know, huge regard for. So, you know, that's a very good starting point. But if I talk about, you know, from a kind of analysis perspective, I mean, you know, the first thing clearly we always look for would be the deck. And I always do look for it because I want to have a read of it before I meet anybody. It just gives me a flavor of what I'm looking at. It might be superficial, but it gives me a flavor. It also gives me a sense of how they're setting up their stall, how high quality is the pitch itself, how much care has been taken to tell the story, you know, how easy is it just to get the big picture pitch or not? Is it complicated and messy, or is it, you know, beautifully done, et cetera, et cetera? And then after that, it's down to, you know, hearing from the founders themselves. And for me, that is, you know, I probably can't exaggerate. It's probably at least 80% of what it's about, because, you know, I'm very conscious. I'm an investor who backs people. So I'm investing in the people, most of all. And I'm very conscious that venture and startups and entrepreneurship is very tough. So it's the quality of the people. It's their passion. It's my judgment of their substance. It's their personality around, you know, do they have grit? You know, I prefer to have founders rather than a single founder. I will invest in a single founder, but I prefer founders because it's a tough journey and you want them to have shoulders to lean on and support each other. But yeah, it's judging the founders. You know, they're selling themselves. Sometimes people forget that. They're selling themselves more than they're selling the idea. And then I look at all the other things they expect me to look at. So what's the opportunity? How big's the addressable market? You know, how much do they truly understand their own business model? You know, what type of traction do they have? Is it a capital light model? Is it tech enabled? You know, how excited am I about the opportunity, et cetera, et cetera.
I was going to say, when you get a deck, what kind of gets you kind of going, oh, there's something here. I look forward to seeing these guys. Is there one kind of little spark? Is it an area, or is it just a feeling, or what kind of gets you going on it?
I think it's definitely a feeling. You know, I use lots of different analogies, but I would use the soccer analogy. I think there's certain players that are very technical. They're just, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. They know why they're in a certain position at a certain time, and they, you know, they're masters technically. And then there's some players who just, you know, they just happen to be in the right place at the right time. They just seem to have that inherent ability to know where the ball's going and get there. And I think I'm more the latter in the context of venture. You know, it's very hard for me to, you know, distill it down to this is what it's about. It's an overall package, an overall feeling. And it's multifaceted, but as I said, by far for me, it's the judgment of the founders themselves. But I like to make the contrast with Warren Buffett that, you know, he's often quoted, and I'll get the quote a bit wrong, but the gist of his quote is he'd rather invest in a super business with crap management because, you know, the super business will, you know, it'll be okay. In venture, I think the other way around.
Yeah.
I'd rather invest in a super pair of founders and a challenged opportunity, because if I've got it right, they'll figure something out. And I'd rather have that approach. So I'm not saying I'm right and he's wrong, but I just think in different asset classes, you have to take different approaches.
Yeah, they're different investments too. I think they're totally different things. Yeah, that's, I was only reading that quote last week. I was reading his new notes. So that's the good things. What are the bad things? What are the things you look at and go, no, that's a massive red flag?
Again, you know, presentation. So, you know, if the deck is not great, that's just a black and white, you know, for me, it's, you know, they haven't taken the care, they haven't presented well, they don't get branding, they don't understand. So it's, you know, it can happen. I can then meet somebody and be wowed and converted, but it's rare. So I think, you know, the quality of the deck and the care that's been taken. And, you know, again, it's, you know, I collect these phrases over time. I always get them somewhat wrong. But I think one that really lasted with me throughout my career is that one about, you know, I wrote you a long story because I didn't have time to write the short one.
I thought you were going to say how you do anything is how you do everything. That's a new one on me. I'm going to take that one.
But it's so true when it comes to, I mean, I use it in my own business all the time, and it's so true when it comes to a venture deck as well.
Yeah.
You have to take the time to really, really nail it, to really distill it down. And when you do it, the quality comes true. When you don't do it, it's so transparent.
Hope you enjoyed that mentor moment. Wherever you're listening to this, go and hit subscribe, whether it's on Spotify, Apple, or YouTube. It helps the podcast grow. I'll be back here in a couple of days with an Idea Lab. Have a great week.